Colleen Davis, the production coordinator here at the New Victory Theater. You're about to give us a tour of the historic New Victory Theater, the 110-year-old New Victory Theater. Is there anything we need to know before we begin? Any words of caution?
Any words of caution? Watch out for her ghost.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 180, New Victory Tour. Many pleasures we had performing at the New Victory Theater in New York City last March was the ability to get a tour of the entire facility from top to bottom. Reed Martin, Matt Rippey, Ali Bostet, stage manager Elaine Randolph, and I all got to go behind and above and below the scenes. So we are under the stage now.
There's actually a trapdoor right here.
Okay.
That we sometimes open up and we'll use to lower equipment.
Right.
Below us is the sub trap, sometimes called the elephant pit. There was a rumor that Harry Houdini did a elephant act on stage and made the elephant disappear, and he would drop it into this pit of water, which
wow,
he made it disappear.
Oh yeah,
right.
It's
been debunked because he's never actually performed in the theater. He has performed in the roof garden above, but never actually.
And that would have made a heck of a splash if he dropped an elephant on the roof.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, is the roof garden exist? Are we going to get to go up there?
We can go up to the roof. There's not much up there now.
Okay.
It's not nearly as exciting as it was in 1910.
All right.
And the question I always have performing in these old theaters is, who has performed here over the 100? Harry Houdini on the roof, Gypsy Rose Lee on the stage.
Robert Alda, Alan Alda's father, was an act in Billy Minsky's.
Really? In burlesque?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who else? Mary Pickford, John Barrymore.
And so when Billy Minsky turned it into a burlesque house, he changed the inside of the theater, right?
Right. So, he built a double runway out into the house so his dancers could walk among the audience. And Gypsy Rose Lee was one of the most famous people who stripped here.
Wow.
And Abbott and Costello would perform here in between the burlesque acts.
Not stripping,
and,
though.
Right. And Gypsy,
Abbott and Costello didn't strip, thankfully.
Show all together. Gypsy Rose Lee said when she came to work here, Abbott and Costello had a dressing room in the back. They would play pinochle, and they would keep score on cardboard pieces from shirt packages. And then they ran out of room. They started doing it on the walls. And by the time she got here, their pinochle score had spanned the walls and had gone out into the hallway.
That's kind of cool to be playing in the same theater as Abbott and Costello.
For that long.
And Gypsy Rose Lee.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking double runway for Ophelia, too. Wouldn't that be a nice touch?
Very nice, as long as you keep your clothes on.
Okay.
It's a deal. So the brief history of the reduced history of the New Victory Theater. It was built in 1900 by Oscar Hammerstein I, who was the father of Oscar Hammerstein II, who wrote Oklahoma.
He was the grandfather.
He was the grandfather of Oscar Hammerstein II, who wrote Oklahoma, wrote the words, the lyrics, and the libretto for Oklahoma and South Pacific and Carousel,
Sound of Music,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, built in 1910, and then it was called...
Built in
1900, and then it was called the Republic?
It was called the Theater Republic.
Okay.
And then in 1902, he leased it to David Belasco. And
famous Broadway impresario.
Belasco Theater, correct.
Okay.
He kept it until 1906, and then it became the Theater Republic again, because by then Belasco had built what is now the Belasco Theater.
Oh, I see. Okay.
and then it became Billy Minsky's Burlesque.
So in the 30s. So it was a legitimate theater for 30 years.
Yeah, and then about 1931,
And it had the longest running show. You hear A.B.'s Irish Rose.
A.B.'s Irish Rose ran for over 2,000 performances.
Which was a punchline in Kaufman and Hart plays and other plays. You know, it's, your nose is as long as A.B.'s Irish Rose, or
the
whatever.
The show that broke its record is a chorus line.
Interesting.
It held the record until the 1970s.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. And I think that ran until 1924, I want to say.
Okay.
If I got that. I hope I got that date right.
So then it became Billy Minsky's Burlesque House. It was the first legitimate theater to turn into a burlesque house in the 30s.
It was. And the famous raid at Minsky's happened here.
The night they raided Minsky's was here.
It happened here. And then that stayed on until 1937. Mayor LaGuardia had outlawed burlesque.
Okay.
And when they went to renew their licenses, they were denied.
Okay.
So that lasted till 37, and then it became a movie house.
Okay.
And then post-World War II, it was named The Victory.
Okay.
Post-World War II patriotism.
Okay.
And then it was a movie house, then it was a second-run movie house, and then it was a Then it was a grindhouse, and then it was the first triple X movie house on the block.
It is shattering records and establishing beachheads all throughout its history.
And now we're here.
Yeah. And then
triple, yeah. So it was a triple X theater there, and now we're here. It's a triple X.
Yeah. And now it's first New York City's first theater for children and families.
Well, and that was part of the mandate when the 42nd Street was just like a den of iniquity of porn theaters and sex shops.
Yeah,
and
you wouldn't want to walk down the block.
No. I remember we lived here. Reed and I lived here.
I think Reed was telling me. He used to. Yeah.
Well, because I take the subway. I lived in Brooklyn. I take the subway and then get a bus at Port Authority. So I passed here frequently. And it was just, you didn't want to walk down the street. It was horrible. This was like 86, 87.
Right. Yeah. But then it was taken over by, there was a Giuliani, or was it Giuliani who tried to redevelop the 42nd Street area?
There were a couple of projects on the boards, and not all of them survived. Right. Ours began as the 42nd Street Development Project, which started the New 42nd Street, Inc., which is the company that runs it now. Okay. Sort of the umbrella organization that supervises the renovation of all the theaters on the block.
And there's four or five or six theaters.
There are several of them, yeah. The New Amsterdam used to be one of ours. I think we transferred the lease to the state a couple of years back. Uh-huh. But the New Amsterdam was ours. The Hilton Theater, the American Airlines Theater. You've seen our studio building.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, that used to be the Selwyn. Okay. Until it collapsed.
Ooh, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, we were renovating it, and then it collapsed.
And then there's two theaters that are being combined to house, hopefully, Spider-Man the Musical.
Yeah, that's the Hilton Theater. Okay. That's a combination of what used to be the Apollo and the Lyric were combined into one theater, and that's where Spider-Man's going.
They've combined two theaters to make one theater, and is in a kind of a horseshoe configuration because there's a theater in front of it.
That's right. That's the Times Square Theater, which is the last one to be renovated.
Okay.
It's still outstanding. I think it's going to be a retail location. I don't think it can be a theater anymore.
Right.
Wow. Which is kind of sad.
Absolutely riddled with theaters. It's a rabbit warren of theaters.
What year did the redevelopment start, and what year did this theater reopen?
The theater reopened December 1995, and I believe the renovation took maybe two, three years. Mm-hmm.
What state was it when they took it over? Like, was it a mess and they had to do a lot, or was it...
Didn't want to sit on the seats.
No, it was pretty bad. Thankfully, most of the plaster work survived. The dome, the acoustic dome that you see above the theater with the pootie, the little cherubs, they're all original. They've all been here since 1900. So a lot of the beautiful architectural parts survived. They've seen a lot.
Yes, you're right.
They've seen a lot of non-angelic activity.
That's awesome. Well, all right, so cool. Now where do we go?
We're in the trap room. And we're above the elephant pit.
And you said your family theaters, the New Victory, is committed to entertainment for families.
Yeah, that's right. We present shows for all audiences. And you can see almost anything here. We do plays, we do musicals, dance, concerts, storytelling, puppetry, circus, you name it, we present it.
What's coming in after us?
After you guys is a show from Queensland, Australia called Circa 46. It's called 46 Circus Action, 45 Minutes.
Wow,
cool.
And the price is affordable compared to other shows in New York.
Yeah, absolutely.
The top ticket price is like $35?
$35 in the orchestra. Balcony's $12.50. If you become a member, and that just means buying tickets for at least three shows in the season, you get something like, I think it's a 30% discount.
And then you do student matinees where students can literally come in for $2 a ticket.
Yeah, the student tickets are $2 a ticket, part of our education program.
That rocks. Yeah. That's the way it should be.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, we want to get them in. We want to get them in as many as we can. And we know taking people out to the theater, taking your kids, your family out to the theater is expensive.
Yeah.
So we try to keep it low.
Does Crazy Eddie run the New Victory? Because your ticket prices are insane.
Insane. It's true. But, you know, we work really, really hard to gather donations and grants, and we have a huge education program, and you've met the ushers, the youth corps program.
Yeah.
It's a big part of what we do. So ticket prices only account for, I think, a third of our operating costs, and we have to raise the rest in order to keep the prices low. But, that's part of our mission. So we work really hard to keep it that way. This was originally our lobby space.
Okay.
So we gained all of that.
Just by going into the basement of the Reuters building next door, which used to be the other theater.
It used to be the Victoria Theater.
Right.
I don't remember what was after that. Because the Victoria Theater came down and then something else was built.
Oh, something else went up. I see. Okay.
This is the main lobby. What's interesting here is once upon a time, you would buy your tickets here at the box office and you would step right into the theater here. Huh. So we would be in the back of the house.
Sorry. So this would go up to the balcony.
Right. So this marble staircase is original to the theater, and this would be in the rear of the house right now.
Right.
Okay. So the seats would start here.
And how many seats were there originally? Now there's a little under 500,
I think it was about 900 or 1,000. Uh-huh. We carved out a few of them to make lobby space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the leg room seems pretty good in this theater. Did you change it?
No, I think it's pretty comfy. Yeah, I spent quite a few hours sitting in the house, and it's comfier than most Broadway houses.
Yeah, and this marble's beautiful.
This carpet pattern was on file with the carpet makers.
Really?
Yes, they still had the pattern on file.
So it's a copy of the carpet that was here at the very beginning?
It is. We played with scale. It's been expanded.
Well, what is this? Was this a real entrance?
Yeah.
So this is on the second story, facing the street, but it's a real entrance.
This is the grand staircase entrance.
Okay. So did it ever have a marquee?
Yeah.
Or did it always have this?
It originally had the grand staircase entrance with Belasco's name on the marquee just below us, and then it was demolished when Minsky was here. Yeah, then we put it back based on some of the drawings and photographs of the earlier.
Okay.
So it's not quite the same. It's a little different.
And do people use these doors to get in?
Not to get in, but to exit.
Okay.
Yeah. So this mosaic was rescued from Murray's Roman Garden, which was a lobster house. And it was a themed restaurant where the waiters were all dressed up in like Louis XIV satin breeches and powdered wigs. And it was like, I guess today's version of Jekyll and Hyde restaurant or
Red Lobster.
Yeah, it was a theme. It was a theme.
That's funny.
And this was the just, same time period.
Yeah, this was 1920s, I want to say. And it was just down the street, across the street.
Okay. But part of the 42nd Street redevelopment.
I would imagine so. Yeah. I'm not quite sure how we got our hands on it.
Yeah. But they were able to go, yeah, you know what? We'll take that.
We should save that. Yeah. We shouldn't let that fall apart.
Right.
No, it's handsome. It's so great.
All right, so we'll go upstairs and see the pootie.
I'd love to see some pootie.
Hi, I'm Benjamin Stowe.
I'm Chad Yarish.
And I'm Dodds Delzell, and we're starring in The Complete World of Sports, Abridged, at Sonoma County Repertory Theater until June 14th.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss good money goodbye.
And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Boy, Rippy, I hope you can get a picture of how high up this is, because we're in the. This is the.
Get a picture of how this is.
This is top. This is the top of the upper. What do you call this?
This is the balcony.
The top balcony.
Yeah, so we're above the highest seats that get sold.
Correct.
Right. You can see. Yeah, you can stand here and be even higher, and you can look down on the top of our heads from up here. And there are the pootie directly opposite us, almost.
Oh, yeah. There's the pootie.
And those are original. I think one of them needed a big toe repair, but otherwise, they've been here since 1900.
That's amazing.
To describe it, there's right in the middle of the ceiling is a dome, and this is an acoustic dome? Is that
correct. What
it's for?
Yeah, it'll take the sound from the stage and bounce it down. So,
even in 1900, they were building acoustically sound, well, especially in 1900, because they had no other electronic microphone.
And we've noticed here that we almost have no need for floor mics because the acoustics are so good.
Right. We only need the floor mics when the no-neck monsters are clapping along with Othello, and we don't want to shout over them.
No-neck monsters. It's a Tennessee Williams reference. I like it.
What is the top of this box? Is that?
Oh, on the sides?
Uh-huh. Well, I love it. It looks like a street lamp, two street lamps over each box.
Yeah, that's from David Belasco's 1902 renovation of the space. We maintained his decor.
And those are over the two boxes on the sides. And this wall treatment, these kind of trompe-l'oeil, is that how you say it?
Yeah, trompe-l'oeil, and also bas-relief. It's a combination of the two.
Okay.
So you've actually got 3D in some places, and some places it's just a painting.
Okay.
It looks as if there is fabric over the walls. It's only now that I'm realizing that it's not fabric, it's a design.
Yeah.
No, the only fabric in the walls are the rear walls.
Yeah. But we're not as high up in the theater as you can go.
No, there's one more level.
There's two more levels.
Yeah,
there's
cool.
another level
yeah.
above
you
the dome. Let's keep going up.
Right.
Above the dome and then up to the roof.
All right, we can get a peek at the back of the dome if you want.
So this is the fourth floor. This used to be David Belasco's office.
And look at all these ghosts. It's filled with ghosts. Oh, no, hang on. Those are people. They're real people, and they're working here. And we're disturbing them. Sorry. All right, so far, I have to say, not very scary.
No, it's not.
Okay.
All right, so this is the dome room. You can kind of see.
This is the dome room. Oh.
You can kind of see if you're here at the back of the dome.
So we're in. So this is above the dome now, in the room filled with air conditioning vents and heating vents and whatnot. And there's, looking under the vent, there's the dome, the back of the dome.
Not nearly as glamorous up here. Huh?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that was. So David Belasco had his office through that office that we just walked through.
Yeah, he had offices, and there was also an apartment suite for Mrs. Leslie Carter, who was his featured performer here.
His featured performer, is that a euphemism?
I think it is. I think it's a euphemism. So,
his featured performer both on and off stage.
Indeed, indeed.
Wow.
Indeed.
And so he had an apartment for her up here.
Oh, yeah.
And that was back there or in here?
That was up here on the fourth floor.
Up here on the fourth.
His offices.
Now, Mrs. Leslie Carter, is she the one whose ghost supposedly roams these hallowed halls?
That's what most of us believe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because the stuff she does is sort of what a performer would do. She never really screws up the show, but she plays with you.
And what sort of things have happened?
Now, how has your accordion been? Has it been behaving?
It's been behaving. We had it repaired. Well, now it won't, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I had it repaired at a very cool place in San Francisco. Accordion Apocalypse, right before we came here.
But I saw the sticker on the case. I think Accordion Apocalypse is a great name.
It's a great name. But does she plays around with musical instruments?
She has. She's played with banjos, accordions, violins, anything with strings she likes to play with.
Well, standing backstage on a windy day, we could hear the wind blowing through the backstage area, just whoosh, and it was like, oh, well, no wonder everybody thinks there's a ghost here. Yeah, if you had to stand backstage for that.
It sounds spooky.
But has she manifested? I mean, have people claimed to have seen her?
I've never seen her. We do have one employee here who's very closed mouth. He won't tell me anything, but he says, you know, I don't bother her. She doesn't bother me. So I think he's seen her. But no, she's never seen. She just plays with stuff.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, she stole a bow tie on us once and then helped us find it.
Nice. So it just got moved, really.
Yeah. She moved something, and we saw a bin. Actually, it was one of those big Rubbermaid plastic bins, and it pulled out from a shelf and then flipped 180 degrees and landed on its lid. And we all said, wow, that's weird. So we put it back, and the bow tie was on the floor right next to it. We feel like she was, because it was 5 minutes to curtain, and we just gave up on the bow tie. So I think she said, all right.
That's so
hide and seek is over.
That's very funny. So she's the phantom of the New Victory.
She is. Yeah, wow. She is. We like her. She's fun. She's fun.
Mrs. Leslie Carter, this is your 5-minute call. That's cool.
All right, so roof.
Roof, yeah.
Now, this isn't nearly as exciting as it was in 1910. Now it's all HVAC units and
neon signage. Wow. And this is the only part of the roof you can get on, or you can get up there?
You can get up there, but we're not going to because we're not allowed.
Fair enough. And what about, so this is the roof where... So where was the Victory Garden Theater?
Well, this wall was built up, and it was made to be a fake castle.
Okay.
Crumbling castle. And then the garden started from here and went to the corner.
To the corner of 7th Avenue.
So how did it go across here?
I would imagine it was built straight across.
Okay.
Because it spanned both buildings, both theaters, this one and the Victoria.
Right.
So the garden was above us.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that's our studio building.
All right. We were up there.
It says we've got rehearsal studios in there, more offices, and 199 seat black box theater called the Duke on 42nd Street.
So cool. So. And it's tall enough that you can look down on the other theaters.
Yeah, we can wave at everybody up there.
Wow, that's really cool.
Matt Rippey noticed a similarity between this theater and the Criterion, where he performed for a very long time.
Yeah, it is a jewel like the Criterion in London. Yeah,
yeah, it has that same cozy feel, which is why I like it. Despite being way up here, you still feel that you're part of it. Just
this is, we're a lot higher than you could get in the Criterion.
Yeah, a lot higher, but it has that same aged beauty about it. The feeling of
yes, I like to think that about myself, aged beauty.
Yeah. In fact, it makes me think the same thing that we thought with the Criterion is, wow, you guys let us in? You realize we play on the furniture.
We do. Thank you so much for the tour.
Thank you.
And thanks for bringing us to the New Victory. We can't wait to come back.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your legendary theatrical artifacts via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, world-famous
stripper Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. A random fan shout-out this week goes to Allison Whitby. No reason, it is just random. Special thanks to Colleen Davis and the entire staff of the New Victory Theater in New York City. And to Chad Yarish, Dodds Delzell, and Benjamin Stowe, who are performing the world premiere of The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the Sonoma County Repertory Theater in Sebastopol, California, through June 13th. You can get more information about that production at the-rep.com. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 185/140th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You're listening to the... So close.
But that's okay. I can edit this part out. Go ahead.
And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company broadcast.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.